We're going to be talking about On Point. What's our mission? So we've been talking about this for the next three Sundays. How many of you have heard that phrase? You've heard someone say, boy, that's on point. Have you ever heard that colloquialism? You know, or someone. So what does on point mean? On point means to be true to a belief, true to the mission, true to whatever the job has been ascribed to you. Right? Don't you love it when your children are on point? And they listen, you say, pick up your clothes, do the dishes, be nice to your siblings, and then, man, they do that. Isn't it nice when your boss follows through, right? They're on point with your paycheck every week, right? I'm there, right? They make sure to have the business, sell the goods so you can get paid. Woo, that's great, right? Don't you love it when the Vikings, I haven't had a Viking joke in a long time, so we got to give me one. Don't you love it when the Vikings are on point and they actually win a game? Ding. No, that's not going to happen. Or the Cleveland Browns, so we can make fun of the Browns too. But anyhow, on point is where we live our life on mission. Well, we're not, as James says, where we're tossed back and forth. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you don't? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to be kind? No, on point is that we stay true to the mission. What's in front of us? What's the assignment that our Lord and Savior Jesus has given us? And so, for these next three Sundays, I'm going to be talking about that, about you and I being on point. So when you see each other, ask each other this next week, hey, are you on point? Are you on point? And you can, you know, you can say it however you want, whatever style or slang, but ask each other, are you on point? And we're gonna dive in here. What does that mean here? So I want to start with this. This is Pastor Alistair Begg. He pastors Parkside Church up in Cleveland, Ohio. He's been on the radio. You might hear him on the radio a lot. He's been on the radio for 30 years. But he says this, and he said this many years ago, and I've heard this many years ago, and I love it. It's so good. He says this, when we're looking at Scripture, and when we're reading Scripture, he says this. He says, the main things are the plain things. And I can't do it. He's from Scotland, so he has a great Scottish accent. So I'm not going to even try because I'll butcher it. But he goes, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. And I want to start with that. A lot of times after Easter or Resurrection Sunday, we just saw Jesus, man, he conquered death and hell. He arose. Now what? You know, it's always the next Sunday after Easter. It's always like, well, is it going to be even better? Where do we go from here? And I want to start with this in mind, that the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. And we're going to look at Scripture here. We're going to look at two portions of Scripture and look how Jesus communicates the main thing to us in a very plain way. And sometimes as we get going on in our Christian walk, we search or we think, oh, there's got to be something deeper. It's got to be hidden. There's got to be some access code to unlock something super deeper message. But I want to present to you today that Jesus spoke very plainly to us and gave us a clear assignment, a clear mission. Jesus isn't some evil, twisted Savior. He said, you got to search for it and look for stuff. He's like, here am I. Here's my mission. Here's what my disciples will do, very plainly. And I'm going to start with that thought in mind. And so, the question for us here today is, now what? Man, last Sunday, woohoo, Jesus is alive, right? Today we even say, man, Jesus is alive. But now what? Now, that was over 2,000 years ago. And even today, did he already come back yet? Not yet. So now what? How do we stay on point with the mission that God has entrusted with each of us that call on the name of the Lord today? Let me ask you this. How many of you, by raised hands, would be unashamed, say, Dan, Pastor Dan, I'm following Jesus today. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Raise your hand. If not, that's okay. Be honest, that's okay. All right, okay, a lot of us. Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. Okay, so I'm talking to a lot of disciples, a lot of people that are saying, Dan, Pastor Dan, I'm committing my life to Jesus. I'm going to follow his teachings. That's good. Let's dive in here. The disciples were thinking this very same thing. Jesus arose from the grave, right? And then he went up to heaven. And they were like, now what? They were like, well, Jesus, hold on, don't go yet. Now what? What were they supposed to do? Turn with me in your scriptures here to Acts chapter 1. It's going to be on the screen as well. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 7 here. And it says this. It'll be on your screen if you don't have your scriptures with you. It says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus telling the disciples, hey, don't leave yet. Don't leave Jerusalem. He says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let's continue on here through verse 7. And then he goes on to say, so when they had come together, they asked him, remember, this is the disciples. So Jesus just said, hey, wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. The disciples, they said, okay, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They were at, the disciples were asking Jesus, all right, is this where we're going to overthrow the Romans? Is this where we're going to gear up, you know, lock and load? We're going to roll in with tanks and armored horses and take over the Romans and set Jerusalem free and take over the world? Once again, the disciples, if you remember the gospel stories, they constantly were asking Jesus, are you here, Jesus, to overthrow? Are you here to be the next king and take down Caesar? And what did Jesus tell him? No, no, you don't know my kingdom yet. My kingdom is a kingdom beyond the little Romans, the pettiness. He's like, my kingdom is bigger. It's inward. It's in the heavenlies. And so the disciples, once again, they think that Israel is supposed to be restored. And Jesus on, he goes on, he says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority. He's just saying, Jesus is telling them that, hey, there's going to be a time when everything's made right, but not yet. But look with me at verse 8 here. At verse 8. This is a familiar passage. So he tells them all this. He's saying, hey, wait for the Spirit. Hey, I'm not here to overthrow the Romans, but I've overthrown the kingdom of darkness and sin in our lives. And no more can the enemy hold you down. And Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon, say it with me, you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The disciples must have thought, they must have thought when Jesus said, hey, stay in Jerusalem, you're going to receive power. They must have thought, man, this is our moment. We're going to take down the Romans. This is going to be awesome. Man, we're gonna right every wrong. We're gonna kick out the Assyrians, the Romans. We're gonna go and take care of everybody that's ever wronged the Israelites. But Jesus said, "Hold on, boys, hold on." A lot of times between Resurrection Sunday and today, we in the church we skip over this part. We're like, "Oh, that's gonna come on Pentecost Sunday. That's gonna come later," and it does. But a lot of times we forget this linear process of Jesus arose, now what do we do? Now what are we supposed to do in our life? And Jesus here, he tells him the plain thing, the main thing, that what? Verse 1:8, you're going to receive power from the Spirit. He's going to come in you, live in you, and you're going to go out and be my witnesses in the entire world. Jesus didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't hide it. He didn't encrypt it. He didn't say, you got to, you know, get on, you know, search Google to find it. He just said, here's what my disciples are going to be. Jesus very bluntly and plainly started telling them the gift that was awaiting them. And so from Acts 1:8, there's three mandates that we have. The first is this, that we are to receive power. Oh, it's way better than what Tim the Toolman Taylor could do, right? More power. Ah, ah, ah. Jesus said he's going to give you power. So what happens after Resurrection Sunday? Jesus said, hey, I'm going to give you power. And what's this power for? What's the second mandate of Acts 1:8? To be a witness. Church, Jesus is calling his church again to be a witness, to be Romans 1:16. You might hear me say, I'm 1:16. Romans 1:16 says what? For I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. What? It's right to save us, right? Church, God is asking his church again in our time, in America, in the world, to be his witnesses full of power. And to do what? To go into all people, in every village, every town, every city, state, and nation. Now, this isn't new. This isn't revelatory new. But church, it's the main thing, which is the plain thing. And church, God is calling his church. He's calling you and me, the kids, the youth, no matter if you're old, no matter if you're young. God's calling us to be his witnesses. These are the three mandates. And today's message is more of a, it's not so much a message, but it's more of a, I don't want to say a pep talk, but more of a charge, a sending charge, okay? A lot of this we're going to read over, you're going to be like, Pastor Dan, I know this, I've read this, I've heard this from you. But once again, I'm asking you to receive it in the spirit of submission in the Holy Spirit and let it re-energize you. Let it come over you again. Let the Holy Spirit say, hey, are you being my witness? Let him speak to your heart and mind. Are you being full of power and going to everyone around you? Gary Ginsburg, he's a presidential historian. He wrote this book that just came out called First Friends, and in this book he highlights the friends of all the presidents throughout our American history. Now it's really interesting. He highlights all these friends and how these friends had a friend that was one of the most powerful men in the world in their given time and season. They all had a close relationship with the president, but one thing Gary points out in his book is that none of them really had true power. They had a close relationship, but no power to enact upon that relationship they had with the president of the free world. None of them were ambassadors, but we're going to read here in a minute that we're ambassadors, and you know probably where this is going. But I want to start with this in mind. What does an ambassador do? In Scripture, here we're going to read in 2 Corinthians. You can turn over there with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16. The Scriptures in the original Greek use the word ambassador. Back in the Assemblies of God, back in the 50s and 60s, there was a thing called Christ Ambassadors. It was the youth group movement. And it was called Christ Ambassadors, the CAs. And the Assemblies of God said, hey, to all the youth, they said they wanted to help our youth be energized to go out and be witnesses and to go out and do evangelism and say, hey, you are Christ's ambassador wherever you go. And so a lot of us, we hear the word ambassador. We hear about what the U.S. ambassador to this nation or that nation. But a lot of us, you may not have the idea of what does an ambassador do. Here's a few things. First is this. It's the representation and the protection of the interests and nationals of the sending state. So their goal is to protect the interests of the country that's sending them and the nationals that are living there. So let's put it in context. If we were over in, let's just say, Afghanistan, the U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan would be in charge of protecting the U.S. mission there and making sure if you and I were living there that we were safe, that we had our needs met, that we had our issues addressed. Secondly, they are here for the initiation and the facilitation of strategic agreements. They're there to go out and negotiate contracts, negotiate treaties, stuff like that. Second of all, the next thing, treaties and conventions. Their goal is to the promotion of information, trade and commerce, and technology. This is the summarization of what our current U.S. ambassadors do. Now, doesn't this sound like maybe what Jesus called us to do, to go out and what he's empowered us with? We're to go out and just promotion of information. We're to go out and promote the gospel of Jesus. We're supposed to go out and look out for the interests of our fellow brothers and sisters, carry the burdens of one another, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're called to go out with his intentions of what he sent us out to. So this is the framework of what an ambassador does. So turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16 through 21. And it'll be here on your screens too. But I want to read a portion here of Scripture. I want to frame this about what does an ambassador do. So Jesus told the disciples to hang tight, that they were going to receive power and be a witness. And for you and I today, we have the luxury of having the rest of the New Testament. At this time, they didn't have this. But we have it today. And so let's read this here. It says here in verses 16 through 21. Remember, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh." It means, Paul's just saying, at one time, we used to look at Jesus without the eyes of redemption, without the eyes of being renewed, having our sins forgiven, being taken out of the chains and bonds of darkness into, as our song said, into the glorious light. And so now we look at Christ differently because we've been renewed by that inwardly, by Jesus. He says, according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So you and I are ambassadors in the department, in the ministry of reconciliation. He says, all this is from God who, through Christ, once again, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. It goes on, it says, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. So your translation might say, therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. And why we're reading this bigger portion is, once again, we want to catch the plain things or the main things. What are some of the plain things here? Is that what? We are no longer see God in our own frailness of humanity, our own flesh that's been tainted. But we've been renewed. We see Jesus for who he is and God the Father. Look at the other plain thing. We are new creations. And today, church, you may not feel new, but you are new in Jesus. And Jesus wants to remind his bride that you are new. You're not old. Man, my chains are gone. I've been set free. And we are new in him. The third thing is this, the plain thing. God has entrusted you and you and you, your sons, your daughters, your grandkids, your aunts and uncles, the senior citizens, the youngest. He's given us a ministry. None of you can say, well, that's the pastor's job. You're all included in this one. We all have the job of ministry of reconciliation to go out and be his ambassadors. It's another plain thing of the text. Once again, I want to remind us, church, we don't need to make this harder than it is. It is right before us. And then going on, some other plain things is that what Jesus entrusted you with the message. The ambassador that represents the U.S. nations in a country is entrusted on behalf of the president what is entrusted with the Department of Justice and in the Foreign Office that they're going to go out and represent. They are entrusted with power to make treaties. They are entrusted with the message, the very words of the president. You and I have been entrusted with the king's message. Have you ever taken a moment to let that sit in your heart and mind, to weigh that responsibility? Have you ever thought about that? Man, you are ministers in the Department of Reconciliation. You're ambassadors. I myself, sometimes I let my tongue run and my mouth runs, and sometimes I don't realize the weight of our words, what we've been entrusted with. You and I have the message of the king. No matter if you feel qualified, how many of you feel qualified today? I'm going to put my hand down too. I don't feel qualified. We've been called. But we know that he who calls us will equip us and develop us. And he sends the Spirit for us to go out and empower in his might to take the message that he's equipped with us. So that what? This last very plain thing is that Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. What does that mean, church? That means that we've been called sons and daughters of the King, co-heirs with Jesus. As our song said, we were the beggars, but now we're royalty. Now, come in this morning, church, I didn't feel like royalty this morning. I'll tell you the truth. I came and said, God, you know what, today I don't want to preach today. God, what's going on? I got crap in my life. God, there's stuff in the city. There's issues. There's things in my life. I don't see you working. I feel discord with things. I don't feel royalty today. I don't feel like I'm called. I don't feel like I have the gift of ministry and reconciliation. However, Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you and you and you and you. And today you may not be feeling the power of the Spirit. But I want to remind us that as ambassadors, it involves three things. And I want to encourage us today. Our first big thought for this week is this, is that receiving the power to be an ambassador for Christ. Today, this is our thought, that there's three things we do to become Christ's ambassadors. The first is that we were made right before God. We are and we do become a new creation. And today we need to remind ourselves that we are new in him. Secondly, we are able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to solidify the new life in Christ and also empower us to live lives of holiness before God. The Holy Spirit is there to remind us daily that we are his ambassadors, and then we can walk, even when we don't feel like it. Even when we feel, the weight of an ambassador, the weight of the ministry of reconciliation, the weight of God entrusting his message to us, frail humanity. Come on now. We all know this. We mess this up. We don't preach this right. We don't live this right. We don't live out the fruit of the Spirit. I'm included in all that with all y'all. But he's entrusted you and I with that. Church, there's a weight to that. We are his ambassadors. We must go out. He's asking us to go out. Thirdly, we are commissioned, as Jesus said there in Acts 1:8, to go out to the world with his message. Receiving the power of the Holy Spirit allows God to take you and I beyond our natural limits. Today, when I was driving here to church, I felt my natural limit. And just Dan Bittinger, the human, the dad, the husband, the pastor, I felt my limit. I felt my limit. I saw my limit. I saw my messed up junk in my life. I see it. However, the baptism of the Spirit, what does it do? It activates the gifts that the Holy Spirit has implanted inside of you and I. And it brings those out past our natural limits. And to take the message of this wonderful good news to our workplaces, our families, our neighborhood, and the churches. The Holy Spirit empowerment, it gives us victory over sin. It gives us victory over Satan and the demonic works. It gives us power to teach this. You don't need a degree in biblical archaeology or New Testament theology to preach this, church. Hear me. If you're here today and you struggled in school, hear me. That's a lie of Satan. You don't have the education I have. Nothing wrong with it. But the Holy Spirit will illuminate you and teach you to be able to go out and preach this to people and tell people that. Don't listen to that lie. It's not about how smart you are. It's about how submissive you are to the Spirit. And if you submit yourself to the Spirit, boy, he goes past our natural limits and abilities. The Holy Spirit's also there to teach us the word so that we can go out and proclaim and distribute this to a wide range of people in our world. And so during the month of May, here's what I want to ask you. During this series, to remain on point, if we are to receive the power, if we're to go out and be a witness, if we're Christ's ambassadors and he's entrusted all of us with the message, then here's what I want to ask us for. And here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to humbly submit. During the month of May, I'm going to ask you to fast one meal or a day each week. And as you're your pastor, your friend, a brother in Christ, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to ask you to invite one person to church each week. I asked three people to come to last week's service that were at Hy-Vee. Three of the people I knew that didn't know Jesus. I've met them before. I talked to them. I know they didn't know Jesus. And I asked them to come to church. They didn't show up last week. But that's okay. We're going to go back out. We're ambassadors. Ambassador doesn't give up, right? As you know, if you studied history, ambassadors, they get beaten down. They don't get the deal. They don't get the peace treaty. They don't get whatever they need. But they don't just peace out and leave the country. What do? They go back to meet with the locals. They go back again. And church, I'm asking you once again, and I'm asking this humbly and very reverently, to fast one meal or a day each week and invite people to church. Find the one. Pray that God would show you to the one person and invite them. Don't harass them. Don't guilt trip them, because we know that's not Jesus, right? They should be smelling the aroma of the Holy Spirit off your life and the fullness of the Spirit in your life. And they might be like, man, I want what that guy got, what that lady got. I want some of that. Because that's peace and life and freedom. And so I'm challenging us for these 3 weeks and for the rest of May as we go into our other series, is to invite people to church and fast and pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would fill you up with His power, because you are His ambassadors. And once again, this is a plain message. It's a simple message. Christ redeemed you. He called you. He equipped you. He gave you a gift filled with His power. And He said, go out with my message. It's simple. It's the plain thing. No need to twist it or make it hard. But are we doing that? Are you and I doing that? Once again, it's not guilt. And then Jesus said there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. This is not condemning. This is the church being accountable, right? We are being accountable to one another, saying, hey, are we doing what we call it? Because we know, we all see it, right? We hate it when someone isn't on point, when someone doesn't do what they say. Now, we're not perfect, right? This is not about being perfect or never making mistakes, right? As a husband or wife, a father, a business owner, a boss, we're going to make mistakes. It's not about perfection. It's about aiming. It's about constantly remaining, refocusing our eyes. Are we on point and coming back to that? And that's what I want to challenge us today, that we must be His ambassadors to represent the world. Church, Sioux City needs us. It needs Crosspoint. It needs Heartland Baptist. It needs Morningside. It needs Radiant Life Community Church. It needs Elevate Church. It needs Sunnybrook. It needs every church to be on point and be an ambassador, right? And be unashamed. And so I know you're hearing some of this again, but I just feel compelled in my heart to remind our church, to challenge this church, this body, that we must go out, all right? We can't look to the former days. The former days, I keep hearing say sometimes, that boy, back in the 70s, man, this place was huge. Well, good for that. Amen. Praise God. But that was then. That was 1975. This is 2022. And there's a lot of junk and a lot of people away from Jesus. And there's a lot of, you know, I don't have to go into that. But God wants to push us beyond our natural limits, push us beyond the good old days and say, hey, there's new things. There's greater things. There's a lot of citizens here in the city that need us to go out with the message and say, hey, do you know me? I represent the king of the kingdom. I represent the king of kings. I represent somebody that's greater than the president. He's the president's president. That's who we represent, and we get the rep. And so I want to encourage you this week to go out, be a witness in your own power and might. And I want to end with this. As who needs to receive the power of the Holy Spirit today? A lot of you raise your hand and say, Pastor Dan, I'm a believer already. Well, that's good. But the Spirit, we know, the Spirit in the Scriptures is a constant renewal. It's a constant infilling. Once again, we don't just get one drink of water from the Spirit and we're good for the rest of our life. Jesus said what? Come and drink from this well. Come and receive the Spirit. It's always in the current, active, present tense, a constant refilling. Some of you today here, you may not know Jesus, and you need the power of the Spirit for the first time in your life. But if you're here today and you know Jesus, we're going to end with this. So I want you to stand. Go ahead and stand with me. And we're going to pray that the Spirit would fill us up right now. And so I encourage you, raise your hands, put your hands to your side. You do whatever you want. Lift them up high. You can keep your eyes open. You can put them to your side. But if you want to be filled with the Spirit, I just encourage you, be humble. Do something that maybe you've never done. Maybe you don't want to raise your hands. Maybe you don't even try to pray. But I encourage you, do something different right now. And let's pray, church. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now to come fill this place. Come fill this place. And the place we're talking about is our heart and our mind and our soul. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now to breathe again on us, afresh and anew, that you will heal our families, heal our marriages, heal our workplaces, heal our communities. Holy Spirit, come right now to these temples, these earthly temples, and fill us with your power to be your witnesses. God, we open our hands as surrender. We hold them out, our palms face up as surrender and saying, God, our Father, fill us. Send your spirit in this body again. God, may the days of Crosspoint not be the good old days back in the 70s and the 80s, but it may be today and what is to come by the power of your spirit. Holy Spirit, come and do miracles. Come do things that are beyond our natural limits. Come give us gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, that are beyond our temporal inclinations. Holy Spirit, come today and begin a renewal and a work in us. Let us be your witnesses here in Siouxland. Let us start here in our own Jerusalem, in our own neighborhoods, God. God, forgive me, forgive us for being lazy. God, for keeping our mouths shut because we're scared or what culture or what social media says. God, may we be unashamed of who you are because you've entrusted us. Church, he's entrusted you with his message, with his salvation, his redemption. Holy Spirit, come right now. We welcome you. And we just take a moment and say, fill us again. Come renew us, Holy Spirit, in our minds. May our eyes and may our minds not be in the flesh or be in our own nature or sin, but may we be renewed to see you, God, and all your holiness and your awesomeness and your majestic splendor. And let us see the things you're doing where we want to quit and where we say, God, we're done. May we be renewed again in our spirit, man. That Jesus, you are powerful, and you said that we will receive power when the Spirit comes upon us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come, fall upon us, come in us. Come into these hands, come into these ears and these minds. Come into our vocations, come into our families and our homes. Holy Spirit, come heal and restore and renew. And we ask for testimonies of miracles. We ask for new believers to come. God, I pray for our new Believers Alive class on Sunday. I pray that Brian and Lex would have so many people coming that, God, we don't know what to do with them. God, we just pray that, God, you would call the lost, that you would make us go out and speak your word. God, I pray for those people at Hyvia invited, and I pray for everyone that we invited last week. I pray that you, Satan, you have no power over them. We pray that the lies of the enemy would be bound on their over around them. We pray that you'd send believers in their life that would speak your name. Jesus, God, we're going to be serious, Jesus, that you said that we are your ambassadors. We're going to be serious about we are in the government of the King. And we are paid and amply blessed and supplied to go out in the power of the Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you just to come. Give us the boldness again. Give us the fire, God. Cleanse us, God. Rip out the guck and the muck and the stuff that's hindering us, God, in my life, everyone's life, our kids' life. God, the youth lives that are here today. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you here in these temples. Jesus, we ask in your good name to go with us this week. Empower us. Fill us. Thank you that, Jesus, you died for us. He who knew no sin, you died, Jesus. And Jesus, may your name ever be sweet upon our lips. May your name ever be on our lips. God, we thank you that you are sending us out. Jesus, we say thank you. We started this service with praise and thanksgiving, and we end with praise and thanksgiving for all that you're doing. God, we say thank you for food, thank you for money, thank you for a place to gather. Thank you for each other, thank you for a car, for jobs. God, we say thank you for everything. And we go out as your ambassador saying that our King amply supplies all of our needs according to his riches. So God, go with your people today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.